It's 1 John 3. It's not a problem for him not to know, but if I didn't know, that'd be in trouble. 1 John chapter 3, we're going to start with verse 19. That's where we're going to be today. We're glad you're here. Hope you've enjoyed worship today. And we're going to get into the Word of God. And I want to begin with this question. It's a very important question. What is truth? What is truth? In fact, this question takes place in one of my favorite Bible scenes in the whole Scripture. You remember that Jesus had been on trial. He's up all night. He's being betrayed. He's hours away from being handed over to be crucified. And he's hanging out in the palace with one of the most, you know, the most powerful men in that region, Governor Pontius Pilate. And Pontius Pilate is listening to Jesus, and Jesus is telling him about who he is. He's trying to figure out if he's a king or not. And Jesus says these words in John 18:38, that I've come to bear witness to the truth. Those who listen to me are of the truth. And I don't know what happened in that moment, but in that moment, Pilate let his guard down. He wasn't the governor. He wasn't the condemner. He wasn't the king of the you know, that region. He simply just blurts out, maybe a heartfelt reality, what is truth? It's an incredible question. We've said for the last 5 weeks, that's the question that caused John to write this epistle. Because in the first century, the end of the first century, the Christians were confused. There was a false teaching that was starting, we think, developing into Gnosticism because they had some special knowledge. That's why all through this passage, John says, by this we know, by this we know, by this we know. He uses the word know 25 times in this epistle. Why? Because the Christians were going, wait a minute, we thought we were following Jesus and his teachings, but these new people say there's some special knowledge vision thing. What is truth? What are we supposed to follow? One of the things I love about Scripture, and you know that I love the Bible, man. Well, I love the Bible because it's timeless, because it addresses questions that still remain, because here's the deal. That question is still being asked everywhere we work and everywhere we live and everywhere we go. What is truth in the 21st century? It seems that people don't know. Because we live in a culture of diversity, religions and diverse religions and belief systems, and I think a lot of people are just going, what's the truth? Which one? Even in the church, some of us here today perhaps are wondering if God's rules have changed throughout the time. Have God's rules become outdated? What is the truth now in the culture we live in? We live in a world which the lines between right and wrong have become so blurred, there's hardly even a line anymore. And I think there's a lot of people that you know, that I know, that we love. Maybe some of you here today, they're going, what is the truth? And now it's a campaign season. So there's lots of speeches and lots of solutions and a lot of arguments and a lot of advice and a lot of commercials and a lot of fixes and a lot of remedies. Hey, what's the truth? Just want to know the truth. And that's what we're going to study today in 1 John. 1 John chapter 3, verse 19, he starts off by saying, we can know. That's the question of this series. How can we know? John says, here's how we know the truth. So let's read it together, the word of the Lord. If you're visiting with us today, we're so glad you're here. And if you think, wow, he just got serious at the very beginning. Usually I tell some jokes and stuff. I'm very, very funny. Just trust me. 1 John chapter 3, verse 19. By this we shall know that we are of the truth and reassure our heart before him. For whenever our heart condemns us, God is greater than our heart, and he knows everything. Beloved, if our heart does not condemn us, we have confidence before God. And whatever we ask, we receive from him because we keep his commandments and do what pleases him. And this is his commandment, that we believe in the name of his Son, Jesus Christ, and we love one another just as he commanded us. Whoever keeps his commandments abides in God and God in him. And by this we know that he abides in us by the Spirit whom he has given us. Let's pray and ask the Lord to speak to us today. Lord, we're ready. We want to hear from you today. Because this culture debates about truth, right and wrong, fairness and rights. And we often miss the truth. So God, would you strengthen the truth in the hearts of your Christians today, those who follow you? Would you cause those who are maybe on the outside and waffling a little bit to know the truth in a different way? Would you draw those who have not followed you yet as through your son Jesus as a follower of God? God, would you just draw them in today? God, there are miracles to perform here in this place, and we believe by your Spirit and our worship and our assembling together, you are doing miracles right now. God, would you do them? Would you do something miraculous in my heart? Change me. And then change us as we encounter the Word of God. God, would you come here now? Need it. We ask in Jesus' name. Amen. Well, we've learned a lot of stuff that we can know so far. If you've not been here through the last 4 weeks, we've learned that we can know God. We can know Him. We've learned that we can know we are the children of God, that we belong to the family of God. We can know it. Last week, Matt said we can know what love is, and we can know that in this culture that sometimes is so unloving. Today, John says we can know that we are of the truth. I want you to see this again because I want you to notice that John is not ashamed to say we know the truth. Okay, look what he says. By this we shall know that we are of the truth. You can know it. We're not reasonably sure. We're not partly right. We don't think this is one of many ways we can know the truth, the conviction, the reality, the thing that we can count on. Greek word aletheia, right? We can know for sure the truth. That's why he says in verse 19, we reassure our hearts of this. Our hearts are persuaded. We don't have to walk around Christians. Here's just, let's start off with some good news. Other place didn't get it. I'm just inspired right now, okay? You can walk away today knowing in your hearts for sure that you're in the truth. You don't have to worry about headlines and stuff. I'm jumping ahead. I'll get to that later if I repeat myself. Sorry, okay? Here's the deal. He's not saying we're reasonably sure. He's saying we can know the truth right now. And it begins with God's perspective. Look what it says in verse 20. I want you to, the last part of verse 20. It says that God is greater than our heart, and He knows what? Everything. God knows everything. You ever wonder why God gets to be the one to make all the truth? Why He gets to be the one to set the rules for living? Because God knows everything. Have you ever thought about or contemplated God's perspective? First of all, God knows God in a way that you and I don't. The Bible says that, you know, eye has not seen, ear has not heard, mind has not conceived. God knows God. We have an idea about God. We sing songs about God. We say that He's great, but even our words cannot even express how good He is. Just think about this. How big is God? I love it, like, you know, every once in a while, science, and by the way, science and God go hand in hand. We're not anti-science here, because every time science discovers something really cool, we go, oh, it's God, right? It's like every time we see this new view of this telescope that's got us on the edges of our, you know, of our solar system, it's like, oh, we've discovered a new whatever. And I see God's on the other side of that going, you're getting warmer, right? He's big, and he knows how big He is. And so He goes, I'm big enough to make the rules for living, to tell you the truth, to say this is the way it should be. He knows us. Think about this. You think of all the commandments of God, and sometimes you read the rules and you read the laws, and you go, I don't like that law. I don't like that rule. And we go, why did God make that rule? Because God knows us. He knows you. He knows what's going to hurt you. He knows what's going to help you. He knows what's going to emotionally tank you. He knows what's going to be devastating the people around you. He knows you. He knows how it all works. He knows the world. He knows how it puts together. He knows how it revolves and how all this stuff happens. God understands. I've said this before. God does not watch the Discovery Channel. Right? Boring, right? Duh. Hey, we got this brand new discovery. God's like, oh, yeah. I did that, you know, years ago, right? He knows. There's nothing new for Him. There's nothing that puzzles Him. There's nothing that confounds Him. And this knowing of everything leads to Him giving us the truth. And He does it through His commands. I want you to see this word again because this is important. If you want to follow Jesus Christ, you have to follow rules. Okay? Here's what it says. I'm on the wrong page. Here's what it says. Verse 22, we keep His commandments. Verse 23, His commandment. Verse 23 again, just as He commanded us. Verse 24, whoever keeps His commandments. Following the commandments of God are part of following God because God knows the rules. God knows all, so He gives commands that are true for all people, for all places, for all time. Why is He the one who gets to define the truth? Because He's all-powerful and has all authority? Yes. He could be a mean God to say, hey, too bad, I'm in charge. I'm bigger than everybody, and boom, here are the rules. He didn't have to be you know, gracious and loving, but he is, and so he gives us rules that are good for us. He gives us truth so that we can know how to live. Now, if you're here today, and you or a friend or a family member, maybe somebody you know, you're sitting there going, I don't believe in God, so God can't set the truth for me. I don't believe in the Bible, so the truth can't be set from the scriptures for me. That's cool. You got two options. If God is not your truth setter, if God's not the guy whose commands you follow, you have two options. You get to make up your own truth. And by the way, remember, God bases his truth on his knowledge. You base your truth on your knowledge and your strength and your experiences and what makes you feel a certain way, and that becomes truth for you. Just understand, sooner or later, that's gonna break down, because even the most arrogant person in here will admit we don't know everything. So if I just start making up my own rules, sooner or later, it's going to hurt me and everybody else around me. But that's an option. You can make up your own truth. The second option, I think, is worse. You just follow the truth that other people have made up. That's our culture. We live in a culture that whatever gets the most, you know, social media, whatever gets the most headline, whatever gets the most popular opinion, what people say in the hallways, what the political correct conversation, all of that takes precedence. This is the truth. And you know what? All we're doing is we're just following the truth of other people. They've made it up. They don't know. They're just making it up as they go along. It's amazing to me how we take truth as Christians from people who don't know anything. That we get advice about spiritual stuff from coworkers who are not followers of Jesus Christ. You know, this happens frequently. It's like, well, all my friends in the office think I should leave my husband or my wife. I'm like, well, duh, they've all been divorced 5 times. What are they going to say? Their truth is sometimes it doesn't work. They have to make it up. They have to do something that makes sense to them, and so they make up their own rules. Some of you young people in here, you're following the advice of your 20-something friends. You don't have a job. You know, living in the basement, I think that yoga pants are fashion wear. Help me figure out life. Well, my friend said this. Just think about it. Who are you taking it? Who is going to be the person who sets truth? It even makes babies cry. Who's going to set the truth in your life? Is it going to be you? Is it going to be your friends, the society we live in? Is it going to be God? You have to choose. But if you choose God, then you're going to have a better life. If you choose the world, you're going to have chaos. Imagine trying to play a game without rules. I want you just to pretend with me today. Pretend that nobody, and you've never seen the game of baseball. You're from some foreign country or something. You've never seen it on TV. You've never seen it played whatsoever. You just walk into a baseball field, and you've got all the equipment there. There's baseball bats. There's some balls laying around. There's some gloves. You see all the bases. There's some helmets, there's some hats, there's some uniforms, there's cleats, you know, all that stuff. You see it all and you go, okay, let's play this game. I guarantee you that the game you come up with will look nothing like the game of baseball. You'll just begin playing your own way. And it will maybe be fun to you for a while, but it'll become confusing because you need to know the rules to really play this game. We have a visual for this in our culture. It's called Little League T-ball. It's a game that slightly resembles baseball. Kids holding bats by the wrong end, their helmets are on backwards, they're running the wrong way, they're picking flowers or their nose in the outfield, right? They're sitting down, they're running the other way, they're holding, you know, they've got their glove in their wrong hand. Little League T-ball, listen, is a picture of our culture. We cheer for people running the wrong way and then give them trophies for doing so. That's the reality. We don't know how to play the game. Everybody we know is making up rules, going our own way, thinking that we're winning. Participation. But we're losing. Because the one who has the ability, that knows all, to set the truth, has told us the truth, and we're not playing the game well. So God's commands are the truth. You don't have to play the game right. But if you want to play the game right, then you have to listen to the one who made the rules. God's commands are truth. I could stop right there. That's a good sermon. But we got to keep going because Jesus comes into this picture. God didn't only communicate his truth through the commandments. He went further by doing so through his living word, Jesus. Jesus is the truth in person. Look what it says here in our passage here. This is the commandment that we believe in the name of his son, Jesus Christ. This is the commandment. All the rules of God wrapped up into one. Everything you need to know about the game. Just watch Jesus. Jesus came. Remember, we sometimes get mistaken. We say that Jesus came and now we don't have to worry about the Old Testament anymore. Jesus says, I have not come to destroy the law. I've come to fulfill the law. In other words, if you want to understand the law, look at me. If you understand Deuteronomy, look at me. How do you love people? Love your neighbor? Love your enemies? How do you do all that stuff? Just watch me. Jesus is embodiment of the Word of God. All the commands of God are found in Jesus Christ. This is how we can know God. This is how John, who is the eyewitness, remember, for 60 plus years, now at the end of his life, the end of the first century, he's going, this is how we know we're of the truth. And we reassure our hearts because we can know Jesus. He is truth in person. See, we said this a couple weeks ago in chapter 2, verses 1 and 2, that Jesus was our representative with God, our advocate. In chapter 3, verses 5 and 8, you just look up there a little bit. Jesus appeared to take away our sin, to destroy the works of the evil one. That's what Jesus came for. And because Jesus came, his truth counteracts all the falseness of Satan in the world. And if we follow him, then we have truth. Back to the conversation with Jesus and Pilate. I love this about Jesus. Because only he drops serious theology in the middle of his trial when he's getting ready to get killed. He's hours away of being crucified. He's already been abused all night long, and yet he's teaching Pilate something. He says to Pilate in John 18:37, for this purpose I was born, for this purpose I've come into the world, to bear witness to the truth. My life says truth. My life is a living human example of truth. And so if we want to understand all the truth of God, if you want to walk away from here today and go, I know the truth, then you pay attention to the guy who said, I have come to reveal the truth. You pay attention to the guy who said to Philip, one of his followers in John chapter 14, I am the way, the truth, and the life. He makes it easy. This commandment, this is the commandment in verse 23 again, that we believe in the name of his son, Jesus Christ. Jesus changes truth from a what to do to a who to follow. That makes it easier for me because I'm not good with rules. I'm kind of slow. So God goes, you can either memorize the whole Old Testament, know all those rules, or you can just follow my son, Jesus Christ, and that's the truth. And you'll get to where you want to be, and that the game will make sense. If you follow him. Spoiler alert, if you haven't put it all together yet, two more weeks still remaining in this series in 1 John called How Can We Know? The answer is Jesus to all the questions. That's the answer. That's God's ultimate answer to the world. Hey, you can't figure anything out. You got tons of questions. Here's the solution. Here's the answer. Here's the way. Here's the truth. It's Jesus. Amen? Amen. All right, somebody's clapping for Jesus. Praise God. Rest you're like, what'd he say? I was looking at my voicemail. I see you people. Let's look at another way to know the truth. There is another way to know the truth, and I'm just kidding. If I get boring, go, by all means, check your email, all right? The Lord might destroy your phone, but that's between you and God, all right? That would be funny, though. At least to a preacher. All right, let's look at this another way to know the truth. Verses 19 through 21. And I'm going to say this. This is a confusing passage. And as I read it, verses 19 through 21, you're going, reassure our heart. Whenever our heart condemns us, God's greater than our heart. Our heart does not condemn us. We have confidence for God. And you're going, what's he saying about the heart? And there's a lot of spiritual Bible smart guys, theologians, that have a lot of different takes on how this works out. And since they all don't agree, then I just said, you know what, Holy Spirit, tell me what you want me to say. Here's what the Holy Spirit wants me to say to you today. Something's going on with the heart. Okay? Let's stick to the simple stuff here. Something's going on with the heart, and one of the things that happens in our heart is our heart condemns us. There's a part of our heart, the word here literally means to convict. It makes us know something. The root words means to know throughout. In other words, our hearts know the truth all the way through. Okay? That's what it says here when it says our hearts, you know, for whenever our hearts condemn us. Did you know that your heart is there to condemn you, to let you know that you're doing right and wrong, to let you know the truth? Now, I'm not saying that let your conscience be your guide, because some people have no conscience. Okay? What I'm saying is that we all have this God-given reality that we are created in the image of God, and we have a God consciousness. And we know instinctively right from wrong. Like, for instance, I would say this. How many of us in here know that it's wrong to kill somebody? Okay, now the rest of you that didn't raise your hand, I'm worried. I guess, I don't know, maybe it's wrong to kill people. If you're in a group of people and you can't agree on murder's wrong, then you're in the wrong place. You could be in danger, right? We know this. At the end of World War II, the Nuremberg trials, the defense of some of the Nazi soldiers we were just doing what everybody else was doing. We were killing Jews because that was what was going on. You know what the world said? Too bad, it's wrong to murder, you know it. Why is that? Because there's something in our heart that convicts us. And if you are a follower of Jesus Christ and you have the Holy Spirit living within you, you have even more working inside of you to convict you of the right and the wrong. You see, here's the deal. Sometimes we want to know the truth. There are times when we want to know the truth. We mostly want to know the truth when it affects us, right? If you're going to the doctor and you've not been well and they've done a battery test on you, you want to know the truth, right? You don't want to know that the doctor's coming in here kind of telling you some of the truth, not all the truth, some half-truths. Doctor, shoot straight with me. Tell me what I got. Tell me how you're going to fix it. Tell me what I need to do. We want the truth, right? If warning signs on the road. I want the warning signs on the road to be true, don't you? I don't want to say bridge might be out ahead. Continue at your own risk. I want bridges out. Stop. Road closed. I need it to be truthful. Because I'm the kind of guy that says, bridge might be out, I keep driving, right? Maybe you're like that. When you've ever been accused wrongly, anybody ever been accused wrongly and now you're on trial? Maybe it's a local meeting, or maybe it's on trial for, you know, in a courtroom. When somebody knows the truth about me and I've been accused falsely, I want them to tell what? The truth. Because that truth is what I'm basing my case on. There are also times we don't want to know the truth. Not interested in the truth. Does this dress make me look fat? Don't really want to know. Okay? What can I do to make this relationship better? Don't really want to know. Okay? I just want you to say you're a great friend. I don't want them to go, well, now that you mention it, here's 20 things you could do better. You ask your boss, hey, am I doing a good job? You really don't want to know unless you're just pretty sure they're going to say, you're doing awesome in everything. Right? There's some things we don't want to know. How can I lower my cholesterol? I don't want to know. You're going to tell me to stop eating good food. I'm eating walnuts and bark and stuff before it's over. I don't want to know. Why are there times that we don't want to know the truth? Because I think this is true of our culture. I think much of our culture doesn't want to know the truth, and here's why. They don't want to know the truth because the truth means that I'm going to have to change me. I'm going to have to admit that I'm wrong and that I need to change. If you're visiting here with us today, here's what you need to know. All of us as Christians in here, we have admitted we are wrong, we are messed up, and we need to change, and so we need the truth to tell us how to change. Okay? Seriously, man. Meltdown. I love it. Aren't you? If you're a parent in here, you're going, been there, man. Been there. Can't spank your kid in church, man. People are like, they're mean. It's truth. You're like, in your mind, you're like, I'm going to beat this child. It's like, oh, praise God, praise God. I'm taking the next, praise God. Am I right? That's true. That's true. Oh, man. Here's the deal. Our hearts won't let us off the hook. Okay, this is what I say. Our hearts are going to convict us. If we're honest with ourselves, if we'll ask the honest question. You say this to kids in the youth ministry all the time. Hey, listen, this is between you and Jesus. Well, Mike, tell me what to do. How far is too far with my girlfriend? That's between you and Jesus. I wasn't trying to slough off the question. I was trying to say, listen, don't get your pastor's answer. Get Jesus' answer. Get his answer. He's the one that knows. You don't need my advice. In fact, I really believe this from the bottom of my heart. If you would just simply say, when you begin to make decisions in life, if you invite Jesus into all those decisions, your heart will convict you. It just will. Should I sleep with somebody who's not my spouse? Should I go to a party where I'm going to drink too much? Should I cheat on my test or my taxes? Should I take credit for something that somebody else did or said? Should I download music illegally? Should I be mean on Facebook or Twitter? Just ask Jesus, man. Your hearts will condemn you. And again, it's not you're going to hell. Your heart's going to say you shouldn't do that. Because God's going to be working in that. And if you're a follower of Jesus Christ, it's His Holy Spirit that's working in that. I'm not going to touch this last verse here today because we're going to get there next week about how we know the Holy Spirit of God lives in us and how He works. But bring Jesus into your everyday and you'll find truth. But here's what's really cool about the heart thing. Because God's greater than our hearts, He can change our hearts from condemning hearts to hearts that don't condemn us and make us confident before God. See, that's what he says here. Beloved, if our heart does not condemn us, well, how does our heart not condemn us? Our heart condemns us if we give our lives to Jesus Christ by faith, and he's washed our sins away, and now we've rejected all the things that God calls sin, and we embrace all the things that God says is good, and so we stand before God with clean hearts. Our hearts don't condemn us because we say we're following Jesus. And so now we can have confidence. It even changes the way that we pray. See what it says there in verse 22. Whatever you ask from him, because we will receive from him whatever we ask because we keep his commandments. You see, if we align ourselves with God and say, God, your way is right. I'm going to follow your way. Your way is true. And I'm in. And I'm following Jesus. Then you pray differently. You don't pray for him to bless stuff that you know he said is wrong. It changes how you pray. And this is the way that we shall know that we're of the truth. I want you to understand this again today. Christians, you can know the truth. You can know it. Verse 19 again, that word, we reassure our hearts before him. We are confident before God because of his son Jesus Christ has washed our sins away. And now we can approach his throne of grace. Well, let's, one other thing I need to say here about truth. And that's how truth and love work together. You need to understand this today. Truth and love work together. Love is truth in action. Love is truth in action. There are many Christians and churches who think it's only their job to be right. It's just my job to know the truth, to be right all the time. And we have the truth is the slogan. We have the truth. They proclaim it to everyone. They'll let everybody know we're right. But in the meantime, they're not loving, and they become argumentative, judgmental, condemning people. There's churches and Christians like that, maybe you know. On the other hand, there are churches and Christians who go, hey, we just love everybody. We accept everybody. Just come join us, man. We just love, 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 love. But they're not loving because they don't have the ability to tell the truth to people about the mess in their lives. Neither one of these are biblical churches or Christians. A Christian can only say, I'm right, do it my way, God's way, and I'm right. Too bad if you go to hell. You can't be on the other side and say, I love you, I'm not going to mess with you, just kind of let you be who you are, do your own thing, and good luck. Okay? Somewhere in the middle is truth and love. I would contend that they're the same. Because I can't have truth without love. The love of God doesn't work unless he's telling me the truth. The truth of God doesn't work unless he loves me. And it's true for us as well. See, here's what I want you to hear very clearly today. When you say, which side are you on? You the truth side or the love side? I say, yes. I'm solidly on the truth side. You should know this about me. I believe the Word of God. I believe about the church. I believe the church is here to protect the truth of the Word of God. 1 Timothy 3:15 says that we're to behave in the household of God in a way, because it's the church of the living God, a pillar and a buttress of the truth. The church is the pillar of the truth. We stand on it. I believe the society collapses around us because the church is allowing the pillars of truth to crumble. So let me say it strongly so I'm clear here. This church, this pastor, this place, we stand on the truth of God's word. Every sin in here, we call a sin. And we say it's wrong, and we don't like it, and we flee from it, and we avoid it, and sometimes we're tempted by it. Sometimes it's strong in us. We all have our different things. But if it's in here and God says it's wrong, here's what we believe. God didn't make a mistake 2,100 years. He didn't go, oh, man, that culture took a turn I wasn't looking for. He made the rules. He knows how to play the game. This is right and this is wrong. We stand on the word of God. Okay? Amen. And just in case you're here and you're going, oh, man, here it comes. Okay? We're not just against all the sexual headlines that are dominating our culture right now. People talk all the time, why do you Christians always talk about sexuality? It's because that's all our culture talks about all the time. But just to be clear, we're against everything that God's against. We're against greed. We're against lust. We're against sex outside of marriage. We're against pornography. We're against gossip and slander and greed and pride. We're against cursing and worry and hatred and abuse and hero worship and cheating and stealing and anger. If it's in here and God says, don't play the game that way, we're against it. And here's why we're against it. Because God's not giving us permission to change it. We have to stand in this truth. And I'm not afraid to tell you the truth because I'm not running for office, and neither is God, right? There's a scripture that says, let God be true and every man a liar. If the whole world, 7 billion plus people, votes no to God, it doesn't change who he is. He's still right. He's still right. But, and you need to catch this, Christians, because the world thinks we're jerks, and here's the reason the world thinks we're jerks sometimes, because we are, right? This truth must come in a conversation and an activity, an action of love. If you don't love me, I don't care what you think I should do. If you don't love me, I don't know that you're telling me something for my own good. But if you love me, then I'll listen to you. See, I believe with all my heart, Ephesians 4:15 says, speaking the truth in love will grow up into him who is the head, even Jesus Christ. I believe that we can hold the standards of God as strong as ever, and we can also be as loving as possible by getting into the lives of people around us and loving them. And if you're here today and you're a visitor, you're outside of Christ, let me just tell you, the reason I'm telling you this truth is because I love you. It's not hate to tell you the truth. It's hateful to let people continue to live a lifestyle that ultimately will be harmful to them and just endorse it and clap for it and say, here's a trophy. You're not a baseball player, okay? So it's not hateful to tell someone the truth that God hates divorce. It's not hateful. I know some of you in here have gone through very painful divorces, but I also know that some of you in here are going, I'm thinking about leaving my spouse. I'm just going to tell you, it's going to hurt you. And it's going to hurt your kids. 20 years from now, your kids are going to be in counseling because of your divorce. Well, that's not fair. I don't like it. I'm telling you because I love you. Take it or leave it. I'm not telling you that you shouldn't do pornography because it's a sin. I'm telling you because God says it's going to destroy your life. It's a terrible imitation of sex. Most of the people that are in pornography have been abused. They're suicidal. They're drug addicted. We're abusing people every day, a multi-billion dollar a year industry called pornography. Guys, listen, it's not hateful for me to tell you can't pick what sex you want to be. The thing that just drives me insane about this cultural conversation we're in right now is that you're telling teenage kids who are already trying to figure out what they are sexually anyway, it's a confusing time, remember? You grow 7 inches in one semester, you stumble all over everything, you got hair under your armpits, you got zits on your face, welcome! Now this world is saying, hey, by the way, you get to pick out whether you're male or female. Listen, I'm just telling you, it's not a good choice. It's not because I hate anybody who feels that way. It's not going to turn out well. It's not hateful to tell you that you shouldn't be filled with wine and get drunk. It's not hateful to tell you not to steal stuff. It's not hateful to tell you not to lie. It's not hateful to tell you not to trust the riches of this world because they're fading away. Listen, we have to lead with the truth, but we have to lead in a loving way. We have to get into people's lives and really love them. We have to stop being so fast that we can slow down and see people. Go, oh, they might need some truth, but they need love first. And that's what God's called us to do. Do you want the truth? I'm assuming that everybody here, whether you're a follower or not follower, you're asking the same question that Pilate asked. What is truth? You want the truth? Here's the truth. The truth is that you and I are a mess. That we've played the game wrong so many times in the past that our lives are a wreck. But at some point, those of us who follow Jesus Christ said, my life is such a mess, I need some other truth. And we found the truth of Jesus Christ and the forgiveness that comes through his death and burial and resurrection. And the truth is, I can stand clean before God because Jesus is the right way. And if you're here today and you don't know that or believe that yet, I'm telling you because I love you. If you follow Jesus as your truth, you'll never regret it. Let's pray. God, I thank you for a chance to share your word today. And I just thank you for a chance to be with people who love you and praise you. I thank you for your body, the church. God, I pray that you will help us this week to simultaneously be the most loving people in our culture and those who are adamant about the truth of the word of God found in Jesus Christ. God, would you help us balance that because we're not very smart. Would you help us figure out how that works best with our family and our friends. Would this week be a time for us to share with them in love the truth of Jesus Christ? So God, now go with us and bless us for your glory and for your kingdom, we ask. In Jesus' name, amen. God bless you all. Have a great day.